The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. Hey, we had such a good time out here on the Sullivan's back deck that we decided to come back again this week. And what that means is you guys get the view behind me and I get to sit out in the sun. So what could be better than that, right? One of the reasons I wanted to come out here again, though, is because if you look behind me, what you see is you see the bay, but then there's also a part of the Green River that's coming off to the right there. And in the summer times, a lot of times what we'll find is that Rocky Hill, that's located right there on the river, they'll have their sail clubs or their sailing classes, and they'll be out in the bay practicing their skills and playing different games where they're chasing each other, racing. And what we're going to be talking about today is actually things that chase us. Some of the things that are good, that we like. Some of the things that we don't like that we wish would go away. Some of the things that we actually fear. And I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to be getting back into that topic of fear today, because it ends up that Psalm 23 talks a lot about fear. And it ends up that during this time, it seems that a lot of us are consumed by our fears. So why do we fear so much? Why are we so afraid of things? Well, part of it is because fear is hardwired deep into us. It's not always something that we choose to do. Instead, it's like this automatic alarm system that goes off in our heads that tells us that there might be danger, that there is danger nearby. So our fear reaction starts before we can actually even sometimes think about what it is that we're afraid of. So we hear a loud noise and we'll jump, or we'll duck, and our hands will come up without even thinking about it. If we see something moving off in our peripheral and we don't know what it is, our head will just automatically just snap to the side to see what it is. Because fear, it's hardwired into the deepest part of who we are. You know, that's one thing, but modern fear has really taken it to a whole different level. Modern fear, now our minds have gotten involved. And so we start to imagine things that we should be afraid of, or we start even making up sometimes our own monsters. And so it consumes us at times. We fixate on something until it becomes a phobia, or else we can transfer our fear of this one thing over to this other thing, and then we can't even address the fear because we can't even remember what we're afraid of. We become professional fearers. We become artists at painting fearful situations. We become like professional athletes in an arena of fear. We're great at it. But a bad part of all this is how it then makes us act, especially towards each other at times. Because it is these unfounded fears, whereas before it would keep us from getting eaten, or it might keep us from falling off a cliff. Now these unfounded fears, they get us to distance ourselves from each other. They get us to distrust people who love us dearly. At times, they get us to isolate, to remove ourselves from people that could actually help us with what we're having our challenges with. Sometimes they get us to prejudice against each other, or to lash out, or to react, or respond, or to scapegoat, or to just victimize people or demonize people so that we hate them. We act towards them with violence. We crush them. We destroy God's creation, God's children sometimes, because of fear. So what are we so afraid of? Well, Psalm 23 boils it down and says it's evil, which is really just a word that summarizes all the bad things that can happen to us. But those who study fear, they say there's probably four things that we're really afraid of, and everything else is just a version of these essential four things. One, we fear death. We fear losing the ability to function in this world, in this life. We We fear separation from other people. And then we have this nagging fear in the back of our minds that someday we might actually find out that we're not so unique. We're not so special. We're not so valuable or worthwhile. And, you know, that fear of meaninglessness, man, that terrifies us. So those are our basic fears. And that's what really causes a lot of the fears that we're dealing with right now. Why do we fear losing our job? Because our job gives us status with other people. It connects us with them. Our job keeps us from the dangers that might threaten our existence, our lives. Our job keeps us distant from things like homelessness or from hunger. Our job gives us a sense of value and purpose, and it holds off that idea that we're not special. It brings us in and says, no, there's something I do. We fear this virus right now because it threatens our lives. It makes us have to stay apart from one another, and we wonder if we're going to lose ground in relationships with each other during this time of separation. It reminds us that we're not in control of everything, and in fact, we're actually pretty weak as far as our physical being. To think that we could, by this little tiny thing, could be reduced to needing a machine even to help us breathe just in a matter of hours. It makes us afraid. So Psalm 23 talks to us about fear because we're full of fear and we're surrounded by things that make us afraid. So what does this psalm say is the solution to that fear? Well, over the last several weeks, we've been looking at these things. We've been thinking about that. What is it that can cause us not to be afraid? And it says one is to know that God is our shepherd. That can relieve our fear. To know that he's not just our shepherd, but he's our friend. He has a concern for us. He wants us in relationship with him. Knowing that we will have everything we need because of the fact that he's our shepherd and our friend. Knowing that his intentions and actions are always for our good. Knowing that he never loses sight of us. He never walks away. He never lets us go. Knowing that even when we can't see him, he is still with us. And then last week we saw it, knowing that all of his power and all of his ability are always being used to get us to a better place than where we are presently. Psalm 23 says these are the kind of things that help dismantle those fears. But after saying all this, having said all this, David finishes in verse 6 with two simple convictions that he has. And these are convictions that seem for David to frame every thought that he has, to fill every moment of every day for him. And there are two simple convictions that dismantle every fear. And he says not only dismantle his fears, but dismantle any fear that we might encounter. Now, the first one is this. Only goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And the second part is, and after those days are done, the days of this life, I will live in the house of the Lord forever into the length of days that follow this life. Now, we're going to look at the second conviction next week, but today I want us to really see, to really explore all of what David is saying in that first one. Only goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Because I think that many of us, whether we memorized this psalm as a child or whether we read it aloud as an adult or maybe we heard it at a funeral, but I think many of us heard this last line, this last verse, as kind of a poetic tag on that we didn't really understand what it meant. I think it kind of was like when we say amen at the end of a prayer. I don't know what amen means, but yeah, I guess that's what we say. Or we sing hallelujah at Easter time. We go, I don't know what that word means. In the same way, I think sometimes we say, only goodness and mercy will follow all the days of my life. Amen. You know, Pastor Cheryl, she was telling me that when she was a little girl, that she had an Aunt Shirley. And whenever she would hear this verse, she just thought what they were saying was that this Aunt Shirley was going to be following her every single day. She was going to be following around after her every day of her life, for the rest of her life. And she, one, couldn't figure out why Aunt Shirley would do that. But second, she couldn't figure out why this information was actually included in this thing called the 23rd Psalm that all these people seem to have access to and read all the time. You know, sometimes I'm not sure that our understanding of this line as adults is much better than Cheryl's understanding of that line when she was a child. But we need to understand this line. We need to know what David is saying because, like I said, this truth, this conviction, is what helps dismantle the fears that plague us throughout our lives. So let's look closer at what this verse is actually saying to us, what God is saying to us through this verse. That first word, the word that starts this verse, surely, not Aunt Shirley, surely. Surely, that word in Hebrew, it does. It has this element of conviction to it. So translating it surely or certainly, it's accurate. I am confident that. But in Hebrew, it also, this word, it has this sense of restrictiveness to it. So it could mean surely, but it also means only. The reason that I'm sure that these things are going to be following me is because only these things are following me. The reason that I'm sure that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life is because only goodness and mercy are allowed to follow me all the days of my life. That's what I mean. It has this restrictive sense. And when he says this, David, he's thinking back to verse 4 where he said, you know, even when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because my shepherd, he won't let those evils happen to me. He won't let them in. He won't let them follow me. And this shepherd, he's with me. So all that is allowed to follow me in this life, when God is my shepherd, or God's good, and God's unfailing kindness and love for me, that's what chases me down. So what does it mean that they're following me? Well, follow is actually a word in Hebrew. It does mean, it means chases me down. It means to pursue, often in a very, and most often, in a hostile way. So this isn't like the puppy dog that follows the flock. This is like the wolf that chases down the sheep. It has this single-mindedness to it, this intense intention about what it is doing. It's a relentless pursuit because it's not going to quit until it has that sheep. And so what is it that's chasing after us in our lives? What is it that's following in that sense? Well, a lot of times we think it's evil. Evil's chasing us down. This sickness, this virus is chasing us down. Economic collapse and threat, that's what's chasing us down. Death is chasing us down. These are the things that we fear will have their way in our lives. And for that reason, we spend our whole lives, we exhaust ourselves trying to outrun these things that we believe are chasing us down. But David says here, he says, no, the Lord, our shepherd, he doesn't let those things chase us down. He doesn't let those things catch us and consume us. They may threaten us. They may even at times appear to have the upper hand. But his goodness and his loving kindness are the only things that he allows to pursue me and to catch me all the days of my life because he's my shepherd. Now, this is where some of us would ask the question, okay, that's nice to say in theory. That's a nice poetic kind of theological idea or ideal to have. But what about those times when bad things happen? And I get asked very pointed, very real questions about these type of things. What about that cancer that I'm wrestling with right now? What about that child that we lost? Our baby. What about that gap? What about when I was duped out of my life savings by someone I trusted? Someone who even maybe told me that they were a Christian, that they were God's own, What about, or I've lost my life savings because the market just inexplicably turned on me. What about those times? What about those who are brutalized even today, or even killed just because they have chosen to follow Jesus? How is that goodness and loving kindness exclusively following me all the days of my life? Well, that's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That's right where we live. That's one of the most challenging questions that really challenges our faith at times, that God is a good God. Because we ask, how could God be a good God, and how could he have all power? If he's all good and he has all power, why doesn't he stop all the evil that goes on in our world? Why doesn't he just shut it down? First, I want you to know, I don't know all the details of this one. I just know some of the bits and pieces that help make sense about why there is evil in this world that this good God created. And part of it is this. God says that somehow this path that we walk, complete with the suffering, complete, including all of the challenges that we face and the bad things that happen, is somehow necessary for us to walk, for us to have the ability and the chance to actually become his children. And let me explain. It's not about the suffering. It's not just that the suffering's necessary. It's also about that suffering comes about because often we choose things wrong. And what's necessary is that we really be given the ability to choose. That this world was created, and somehow there's something about allowing the full range and that fullness of our free will and the full range of consequences that follow our choices that we make with that free will. Sometimes even bad consequences because of bad decisions that we make that cause suffering. Something about that kind of free will that God says is necessary for us to be able to fully choose Jesus over anything else. If we don't have that kind of choice to choose or to deny, and for the denial to running off on its own, we can't really make the choice to follow Jesus either. And another part of this, and I don't fully grasp this part either, but we suffer at times in this world because somehow that refines that choice that we made. The suffering and the choice to stay with Jesus, even if it involves suffering, is part of what shapes our faith and our love for him, and our love for him that stands over and above our desire to just be comfortable in this world. We choose Jesus over this world. And that's shown by sometimes we choose to suffer and still have Jesus. You know, in the end, I think that's the only kind of love really that matters in eternity. Because that's actually the kind of love that God has for and shows to us. You know, this process was so important to God. This freedom of choice was so important to God. And that included the suffering and bad choices and everything. That he himself took on human flesh. He came down here and he lived with us. But he also suffered with us in this world of free will. Right alongside us. So he was a victim of violence. He was a victim of jealousy and hatred and lies. He was even put to death. He was tortured and put to death because of bad choices made with very free wills. And he was God. He was completely innocent in all this. But he did it for us. He did it to show the depth and the length of the love that he has for us and how he chose us. Even above his ability to just remain comfortable in this world or even out of this world. But here's the greatest mystery that I think comes into play here. Is that when Jesus conquered death, he didn't just obliterate it. He didn't take it out of the picture and just remove it. What he did instead was he walked right into the middle of it. And he transformed death itself into the pathway we take to get to eternal life, a better life. He made it into that shadow, that valley that we walk through, instead of that thing that just ends everything. He transformed death itself so that it had no power, it had no sting that it had formerly. He made death bring about his goodness and kindness and his intentions of goodness and kindness towards us. He took and he turned death on its side, turned it inside out. God's promise to us is not that we won't be threatened by these things, or even that sometimes we'll walk right through them, but God's promise to us is that no matter what happens in this life, even death, he will always turn it for his good and for his loving kindness, his kindness and kind intentions towards us. Only these two things, goodness and loving kindness, will pursue me all the days of my life. You know, when I was a boy, there were two types of things that I remember chasing me down, chasing after me. There were the monsters in my dreams. There were the some of the dogs that were in our neighborhood, and there were bullies at school. These were the bad chasers in my life. And these were the things, you know, they tried to scare me. They tried to even hurt me at times. On the other side were the good chasers in my life. When my friends and I would play tag, my friends would be chasing me. There were times that there were friendly dogs in the neighborhood. They'd chase you down and they'd lick your face off. There were the times I'd leave for school and I'd forgotten my lunch and my mom would literally chase after me. And I remember when I was a little boy too, my dad would chase after. He would pretend to be that monster. And he would chase me down, and I would run to try and get away, but I wanted him to catch me because I actually knew if this monster caught me, he'd give me a big bear hug, and he'd kiss me, and we'd be just kind of rolling around on the floor laughing. And there are certain things in our lives that we want them to chase us. We want them to even find us and catch us. One of the most amazing things that David is saying in this verse is found in the words that he chooses for to describe those things that are actually chasing us down. Goodness and loving kindness. You know, the word goodness is actually the word in Hebrew, tov. It's the word not just for goodness, but for good. God created and it was good. At one point, Jesus is teaching one of the Pharisees comes up and says, "Good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And he says, "Why do you call me good? Because no one is tov, no one is good, but God himself." You know, this Hebrew word good, it points to not just goodness like we think of it, it points to God. Because who is good but God alone? This word loving kindness is the Hebrew word chesed, which really, it goes back to Exodus when God says, "I'm going to tell you who I am." And one of the words he uses is chesed. And it's this rich word in Hebrew. It's this unmerited kindness that God shows us. It just overflows as he pours out his kindness towards us through the way that he acts towards us and keeps us and protects us and shows us good even when we're his enemies. This unmerited kindness that God shows because it is driven by this relentless compassion that is his heart. Chesed, it's this word that is so big in Hebrew is virtually untranslatable in English. So we see a lot of different attempts to come up with phrases that are capturing this idea of chesed. It's kindness and faithfulness and goodness and compassion and love and pursuit. It's all wrapped into this one word, deeply intermingled in this one word. And so almost always it refers to God, and when it's not, it refers to some glimpse of God kind of love that we might reflect every once in a while. Very rarely. So you say, who is chesed then? Who but God is chesed? He alone is tov, goodness. He alone is chesed. And really, that's the key of what David's saying here in the last verse of Psalm 23. Only tov and chesed, only good and loving kindness are going to be chasing me down all of my life. And who is Tov and Chesed? Our shepherd, our Father in heaven, driven by his love for us, in this pursuit of us all the days of our life. There is going to be a day that we get to the end of this life and we're going to look back and we're going to see that the only one who was chasing us was our shepherd. He was the only one who was allowed to pursue and to catch and to grab hold of us and to grab us into that hug and to let us know his love and his compassion for us. He's the only one who will catch me. His good and kindness are the only things that are worked in my life, because he is the only one that has access to me in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what it looks like in this world, no matter what it looks like is happening. When God is my shepherd, when the Lord is my shepherd, only good and mercy, his compassion, his loving kindness are pursuing me all the days of my life. You guys, that's something I think we need to know. I think we need to have that emblazoned and just burned into our minds. We need to remember that right now of all times. When there's so much fear of the things that we think are chasing after us. So what's our homework for this week? What is the thing that's going to take this and make it real in our lives? What I'd like you to do, our homework, is kind of a faith homework this week. And what I mean by that is this is a homework that is not going to be about going out and seeing what you see with your physical eyes and doing something with that. Instead, this is going to be, how do we respond to those things that we see with our eyes and hear with our ears in this world? So your homework is a faith homework. It builds our faith. It builds this awareness of seeing beyond what we see, hearing beyond what we hear. So this week, whenever you feel fearful, or whenever you feel challenged or discouraged or troubled, I want you to take this first line, just the first line of this psalm, of Psalm 23:6, and I want you to say it out loud. I want you to speak it. Only goodness and loving kindness will be pursuing me all the days of my life. And in doing that, what I want you to understand is by doing that, you are laying claim to a promise of God. You're laying claim to part of what God has given us, that peace and confidence rather than fear that God has given us as his children, because he is our shepherd. And you're laying claim to that confidence, that promise, as a part of what it means to be his child. So by speaking it, I believe that you're driving back the darkness of fear and despair that's all around you, that we keep hearing every day of our lives. No, only goodness and loving kindness are even allowed to chase after me and catch me all the days of my life. Only my shepherd is going to be chasing me all the days of my life. You also, by doing this, I believe, call into alignment. Call all of the events of your life and of this world into alignment with the purposes and the will of God. This is his intention, is that everything would line up to his purposes of good and kindness, tov and chesed. And you're calling these things in. You're saying, no, these things have to be aligned. The bear of fear has been declawed. This lion of death has been transformed into a pathway, an entryway into, for us, eternal life. These wolves of economy and panic and all this, they're nowhere to be found. And they are found to be no match for God, our shepherd, and his rod, his staff, his ability, his power. Goodness and unfailing, relentless love. These are the only things that are chasing me down right now. These are the only things that are chasing me down now and for the rest of the days of my life. Amen. Father, thank you that you are a shepherd. Thank you that this, in short 6 verses, God, you have just packed this full of kind of a blueprint for how we dismantle fear. So Father, take these words and just bury them deeply in our hearts and frame our minds with them, frame our perspectives and our prayers and our thoughts and the ways that we interact with others and the confidence that we have in this world. Frame these with this awareness and this confidence and faithful grabbing hold of your promise. That all of the days of my life, it's only goodness and mercy. It's only the good one, the ever-loving one, my shepherd, who will be pursuing me all the days of my life. So, Father, send us out in this world confident of your love and your protection, and as instruments of that peace and that confidence and that awareness that helps us in perspective, that helps us to battle fear and to put it down and to call things into alignment again to your purposes. We pray these in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray these for your glory. We pray that you would do this in the power of your Spirit. Amen.